Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Good morning and welcome to Leading Off with True Blue LA. It is Wednesday, October 5th. I'm your host, Eric Steven, and we have reached the end of the regular season. One more day across baseball. Every game is pretty much at the same time. Dodgers play at 1:20 p.m. Against the Rockies today. It's the final game of the regular season. All the playoff seedings were wrapped up on Tuesday. The Dodgers' quest for 111 wins will stretch into a fourth day. They lost to the Rockies again on Tuesday. The Dodgers have scored all of 4 runs over the last 3 games. Hasn't been the best way to sort of close out the year, and I'm sure that's going to cause a lot of consternation going into the postseason. But as I think I've said this probably a billion times over the last, like, 15 years, how you play in October is the most it's the biggest determinant of how you will do in October. It's not how you play in September. It's not how you finish. You still have to do it in October. Like, we've seen years where the Dodgers were gangbusters heading into the postseason and then flopped in October. We've seen them slump down the stretch and then do great once the playoffs started. So you never know. But yeah, they look like a team that could use a break right now, and they're about to get 5 days off after Wednesday. But what we do know, because of the brackets sort of aligning officially on Tuesday, is we know that of the 2 teams they'll need to scout for heading into the National League Division Series. The Braves on Tuesday clinched the NL East, which locked in the Mets as the number 4 seed. And then shortly after that, the Phillies lost in Houston, and the Padres won at home against the Giants. The Padres clinched the number 5 seed. So you have a Padres-Mets wildcard series as the 4-5. They play a best of 3 starting Friday in New York. All 3 games of that series, if it goes 3, are at Citi Field. The winner gets the Dodgers in the NLDS, which starts Tuesday, October 11th. And that's pretty sweet. And we've talked about this before. Obviously, Mets are terrifying in the sense that if DeGrom and Scherzer are on, they are the best top 2 starting combo in baseball. And then you basically, because of the wild card series, you're only going to see them twice, I would imagine. And you know, given DeGrom's injury history and just everything, it would be hard pressed to see him pitch on short rest. But even if he does, later in the series, he would be, you know, less effective. So it's doable. It's more doable because of the advantages of not having to play the wild card round for the Dodgers. So, but yeah, we'll have plenty of time to sort of break that down as that becomes more clear. We also had a Dodgers rewind on Tuesday's episode, so I didn't get a chance to talk about Monday's game. So we have a couple days to sort of catch up on. But first, on Tuesday, Julio Urias won the National League ERA title. He allowed 2 runs in 5 innings. Both were home runs, solo home runs. So weirdly, his last 9 runs or his last 9 home runs are solo shots, dating back to, I believe, July 16th was the date. And during that time, he's allowed 14 total runs in 14 starts, and 9 of those were solo home runs. So he's been very stingy. That allowed him to close out the year with a 2.16 ERA in 175 innings. It is the 16th time an LA Dodger has led the league in ERA. If you go back to Brooklyn, there were only a handful there. 2, Dazzy Vance did it 3 times. Then you had Sal Magley and Johnny Padres. Johnny Padres led the ERA. Sal Magley led an ERA plus 1 year. As far as LA Dodgers to lead an ERA, Koufax and Kershaw each did it 5 times. If you go by ERA plus, Urias is at 193 by rough estimate. We'll find out once Baseball Reference updates in the morning. But that also leads the league. It's the 4th highest in Dodgers history, LA and Brooklyn. And the other 3 came in a 3-year stretch not too long ago. Zach Greinke, 222 in 2015. Kershaw was 197 in 2014. And then the year before, he was at 194. So, yeah, very good season for Urias. They haven't announced, and they probably won't until the weekend, maybe, whether Urias or Kershaw will start Game 1. My bet is Julio Urias, given that they're in that order now, Urias 1, Kershaw 2. Kershaw's pitching Wednesday. And given how, like, Dave Roberts has sort of talked a lot over the last few weeks about how absurd it is in his view that Julio Urias hasn't been an all-star, that he didn't get enough Cy Young recognition last year. He only got a couple down ballot votes, finished tied for 7th. So he sort of thinks he's slighted, and it's hard for me to believe that after all that building Urias up, saying how good he is, and then going, you know what, we're going with Kershaw in Game 1. Either one would be a fine choice. Kershaw's been pitching great, but I just think given what Urias has done, how he's sort of been the rock of the rotation the last 2 years, being healthy all season for both years, someone they can rely on. I think they will reward that with a Game 1 start to start the NLDS, and then Kershaw Game 2, but again, that's not official yet. Another sort of good sign, Tony Gonsolin looked pretty good on Monday. He came back from the injured list after missing 6 weeks with a forearm strain. Now, it was abbreviated. The plan was for him to go 3 innings at most, I believe. He ended up only pitching 2 because he had a 27-pitch second inning. He showed rust there, obviously, but he did sort of finish it off. It was kind of like a spring training game in that he followed his outing with another inning in the bullpen during the 3rd inning. The positives were 3 strikeouts, including 2 to limit the damage to only 1 run in the second. He allowed, he fell behind to 4 straight hitters, gave up 3 hits in that span for a run. Another one was a hard line drive for an out. The good news, again, was the missing bats. He had 20 swings, 8 whiffs in those swings, so that's a positive sign. So next up for Gonsolin is a simulated game at some point this weekend, and then Dave Roberts the other day said if Gonsolin's healthy, he's going to start Game 3 or 4. Now, again, he's going to be abbreviated. Would imagine he wouldn't be stretched out to that point to go longer than 4 innings. But if he's pitching well, that's something you can work with, right? Even if he's like a 3 or 4 inning guy, given sort of the bullpen depth that they have, I think that's a good sign, at least that he's healthy and the stuff is there. So that's a positive going into it. We'll talk a little bit more about some other positives and other potential concerns heading into the final day of the season after the break.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
So Trace Thompson on Tuesday was 0-for-2, snapped a little mini hit streak, but he has been on a nice little hot streak going here. He homered and singled on Monday. In his last seven games, including the 0-for-2 Tuesday, he's 7-for-19 with six walks, two homers, and a double. He reached base in eight consecutive plate appearances from Saturday to Monday. He had a double and two walks to end his Saturday game. A single walk and a single on Sunday, and then he started Monday with a home run and a single in his to start that game. So it gives me an excuse to reference Pedro Guerrero, who reached base 14 straight times in July 1985 to set the club record. That year, he was more known for his 15 homers in June, which tied Duke Snider's record for the month of June. But that July, I think he was even better. He didn't have the home run total, but he was walking a ton. He ended up in July. He also got hurt a little bit. In July, he hit 460, 563, 794. And in a stretch, he had he reached base 14 straight times. That's the club record. Speaking of Guerrero in 1985, which was coincidentally the first full year I was following baseball intently and watching the Dodgers, he's the last Dodger to lead the National League in on-base percentage with a .422 mark that year. He also led in slugging and subsequently OPS and did not win the MVP thanks to my mortal enemy, Willie McGee. Speaking of on-base percentage, Freddie Freeman, he enters Wednesday leading the National League at .405. Paul Goldschmidt is at .404. Juan Soto of the Padres is at .403. However, Freeman is in a bit of a slump now. He's 0-for-12 the last three games, so it puts a huge dent in his quest for a batting title and his quest for 200 hits. He enters the last day of the season with 196 hits. He's hitting .322. Jeff McNeil had three for eight in Tuesday's doubleheader for the Mets. He's hitting .326. Haven't dug into all the numbers just yet, but it seems like Freeman almost has to have three more hits than McNeil on Wednesday. So, like, if McNeil has one hit, Freeman basically needs four. I'm sure I'll go into some other scenarios possibly for the morning, but it's not looking good on the batting title front, but still excellent season for Freeman, no matter how he ends it. On the concerning side, Chris Taylor didn't play Monday. He didn't play Tuesday. He's not going to play Wednesday. He's still dealing with neck stiffness that's bothered him since Saturday. He felt something in batting practice that day and was a late scratch from the lineup. Taylor had a cortisone shot Monday, and so he'll end up missing the final five games of the season. Now, the Dodgers will have inter-squad games over the weekend at Dodger Stadium, I believe Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They get a mandatory off day on Thursday. So just sort of staying ready, and it'll also allow them to have innings for some pitchers like Blake Treinen, Dustin May, again, Tony Gonsolin. I'm sure Tyler Anderson will probably pitch in there as well because just to sort of keep them regular and on point for the latter part of the NLDS, some of those pitchers. So, and also seeing exactly how Treinen and May are doing and whether they're going to be sort of ready for making the NLDS roster. So now Taylor, even though he doesn't play, even he's not going to play the last five games, he'll get at bats in those simulated games. I think the Dodgers are going to also bring up some minor leaguers to help fill those out. Like, I'm sure a lot of pitchers will go to give hitters more at bats and not sort of tire out the arms if they have to. So it's really going to be how Taylor feels is just going to determine whether he's available. Now, since returning from a broken foot on August 5th, Taylor's only hitting .193, .278, .313 with a 35% strikeout rate. That's 44 games worth of that. Even if Taylor isn't ready to go in game one of the NLDS, he could still be on the roster. Dave Roberts said as much before Tuesday's game. This is from a tweet from Jack Harris of the LA Times. His sort of quote of Dave Roberts said, "If he feels that he can help us at some point in time," referring to still including Taylor on the roster if he shows any semblance of potential readiness in the NLDS. So don't go, you know, writing Miguel Vargas in pen in your roster sort of predictions just yet in that regard. But before we get to all that, there's still one more regular season game to go. I'm sure we'll talk about it tomorrow. But Clayton Kershaw gets to start in this one on Wednesday. It's a 120 start. The Dodgers will go for 111 wins. If they do that, they will be the they'll have the second most wins in National League history. They'll be tied for the fifth most wins in Major League history with the 1954 Cleveland team, who also won 111. So yeah, the other thing is, if the Dodgers win on Wednesday, they'll have the highest winning percentage in a full season in franchise history. So beating the 1899 and 1953 Brooklyn teams. So, and it'll be nice to go into the postseason, I guess, on a win rather than losing. At that point, it would be four straight. But yeah, we'll talk about that tomorrow. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you later.